morning again. I can't believe it's still morning. This day seems like it's been going a long time already for me. Since this coronavirus has kept me from preaching at church, I've desired more and more to learn to use this video. And already put a sermon on for this Sunday, but today put together another one. And let's pray. Father, I pray you be with me now as I preach again or speak or put together this message, and that you would help me to preach in a way that honors you and glorifies you. And Father, is accurate in this particular circumstance. And Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Two passages of Scripture, actually, they're actually the same, but from two different Gospels. Jesus says in Matthew, after he had cast out a demon, and he was explaining to his disciples how, he says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Also Mark 9:29. So he said to them, this kind cannot come out, or this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. I believe that King James says much prayer and fasting, or prayer and much fasting. And when you're fasting, usually there is much prayer if you're right with God in it. And today I want to talk about casting out corona demons. And particularly first in this particular message, what does this kind, when Jesus says this kind cannot come out or can come out by nothing by prayer and fasting, what is he talking about when he says this kind? Well, obviously he's talking about demons. That's what he is. They were struggling. The disciples were just struggling to cast out this demon. And, you know, Jesus had been up in the mountain with Peter and James and John, and the other disciples were having this struggle. And they asked Jesus, why do we have trouble with this? And he's going to explain to them why. And this was a particular kind of demon. This kind. That's what that means. Jesus' disciples were already experienced and successful in casting out demons. This particular demon, which they had trouble casting out, was an exception. They were casting out demons. They were curing disease left and right. They were successful. They weren't having trouble with this particular work. They were surprised when they could not cast this demon out. It says in verse 19 of Matthew 17, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? They weren't struggling with every demon. They were struggling with this particular kind of demon, a more difficult demon. What do we know about this demon? Well, earlier in the Matthew passage, he or it is called epilepsy, where the demon combines himself with this disease, epilepsy. We read in Matthew 7:15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. You notice he's saying he falls into the fire or the water there, not that he's thrown by a demon and that it's a disease that he has, a problem that he has is part of the problem. And in the previous church where I was pastor, the Congregational Church in Lymington, which is now an Orthodox Presbyterian church, there was a man at that church, not a member of the church, but somebody who would attend on occasion, maybe once every month or every 2 months, he would come to our services. And whenever he came, he was a nice man. We never had any problems with him, nor did I. And when he came, he would often ask me for a ride to one of the hospitals that was actually some distance away. He couldn't go to the closest hospital. This was a special kind of hospital. I don't remember the name or the details. But he was diagnosed as schizophrenic. He heard voices. And he told me these voices would tell him to do bad things. I don't remember he ever said he physically abused his wife or his children, but he scared them. He yelled at them. He broke things. And this, he said, was because of these voices in his head. And as I got to know him and I would give him rides to this hospital, he told me many times, and I prayed for him about these things, that he thought that he was not only schizophrenic, but he thought he was demon-possessed. And he had this problem of being demon-possessed. And so here we have a young man, back to the Gospel of Matthew. He is called by his own father an epileptic, and yet it is sure here that he's not just an epileptic, but he also has a demon, because in verse 18, you know, verse 15, he's called an epileptic by his father. Verse 18, and it says, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. It's interesting, because there it seems to imply both were the case. Jesus rebuked the demon, and the child was cured. It doesn't always say that in the Gospels. When the demon is cast out, it doesn't say the person was cured. But here it does, meaning the demon was cast out, and also the disease, epilepsy, was cured. And I believe demons can and do hide behind diseases in our society, as our secular society doesn't believe in disease demons. I mean, we believe in demons. We believe all we need is a doctor to cure us from them. There's no need for any religious aspect of this. No prayer is necessary, even though I've heard even secular doctors give credit to prayer, especially when they can't figure out how somebody was healed. They say it was prayer, because they knew people were praying. But then they don't totally believe that either. Also, we see about this demon, it may not be the most important part of this, but Mark tells us that there was a dispute surrounding the attempted casting out of this demon. Before Jesus came down, before he came down with James and John and Peter, from the mountain where he had been transfigured, we read, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes disputing with them. Their failure to cast out this demon emboldened the scribes to start saying, hey, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you're messing up, you're not casting out the demons. Oh, how is this like the coronavirus? The church argues with the church. What about social distancing? What about faith? What about doing this? Not only that, but the church disputes with the world. The world disputes with the church. Tries to get it not to do this, not to do that. Even somebody saying in New York, hey, this isn't God. This is us. We're the ones that got the victory here. And when all this happens, the demon remains. And he gains power. This demon is described, C, this is C, under, you know, this kind. What kind is it? Well, it's a kind, first, that is a demon mixed with the disease. It is a demon that causes these disputes. And then thirdly, this demon is described as a mute spirit. Mute meaning it does not talk. Dumb in Scripture means the same thing. Dumb means somebody cannot talk. And later Jesus calls this spirit dumb. And so it says in verse 17 of Mark 9:17, then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit." Meaning he cannot talk. Remember, when Jesus would cast out demons, he'd ask them what their name was. One says, "I am legion because I am many." And he cast out many demons at one time. Here the demon is not giving any name to Jesus' disciples. And maybe that's part of the problem. And then in verse 5, we see that Jesus calls this demon a deaf and dumb spirit. Meaning not only that he could not talk, but the demon also cannot hear. Verse 25 says, when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Now, you can see where that would have caused problems. This demon could not hear, it could not talk. Maybe it could not hear the disciples commanding it to come out or commanding it to give its name. Even if it did, it wasn't going to respond because it could not talk. This would make it difficult, it seems, to cast out. And I believe this is the kind of demon that we have most in America. I remember when I was in seminary at Trinity Seminary in Deerfield, Illinois. One of my professors was a mission professor, and he had spent a lot of time in Africa. And he said in Africa, he would see the demons throwing people around, yelling at him. They had to be cast out. They were very boisterous. But he says, in America, we don't see that at all. And he'd say, why is that? And he says, well, the people in Africa are very ready to believe that there's a demon everywhere. And they see these things, and the demons know that, and they can scare them, and they can do this. But he says, in America, we don't believe in God. We don't believe in demons. The demons would rather hide. They'd rather be like this deaf and dumb spirit described here in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And so we see that in America, atheism helps demonic spirits to hide. Secularism makes people laugh when we say, well, this is caused by a demon. They say, oh, you're old-fashioned, and the demon has no reason to show itself. Then it would be proving us correct. He'd rather hide and not only have people believe that he doesn't exist, but even that God doesn't exist. And so this is the case, I believe, even today in America when we have something like the coronavirus. I believe it really is a disease, but I also believe there are demonic spirits hiding behind it. Why would I say this? Well, one, we see this in politicians trying to crush churches. You know, I'm not saying every attempt at social distancing, because you can see in my previous sermon I mentioned, you know, social distancing is recommended in Leviticus 13 and 14. And so we see that idea is, at least in the concept of it, is biblical. And yet when a church is already trying to social distance, like the one in Mississippi, when the people are in their cars listening to a man speak with a microphone, there's really not much chance that they're going to get germs coming through the windshield, sometimes maybe from, you know, great distances away. And yet the man had to crack down on that in the same place where abortion clinics and liquor stores were not cracked down upon. And we see this. We see when people do this, there's a morality connected to this. There's a part that's overstepping what needs to be done. Lies were told from the beginning to hide this. China sought to protect their own people. You know, they didn't let anybody come out of Wuhan into China, but they let them travel all over the world. And this was happening before the rest of the world knew that this virus was dangerous. The World Health Organization tried to protect China. Oh, you can't get this. And China did this in a way, seemingly almost designed, definitely to protect their own people, but almost designed to hurt other nations. And I'm not saying I know these things for sure, but these things would not be strange for sinful people, especially for a secular governor. And obviously China's government is even more secular and more atheist than ours. Politicians are using this to gain political power, using this disease to make laws more stringent that need not be, or to bring in funding for things that have nothing to do with disease. I won't go into detail, because the demonic part of this, I believe, is legion. I would be wasting too much time in a message talking about everything that you could see on the news, that you could look up on Facebook, that you can see how this is working this way or that way. We are told in Scripture, Ephesians 6:10-13, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Sometimes I hear from people, other believers, and this is a good thing, that this coronavirus, that they're being stuck at home, has made them more prayerful, has made them spend more time in the Word, and they're getting closer to God, and there is a revival. And if that's the case, it's a wonderful thing. We are being prepared for a battle with the devil and Satan, because if you look out there, the other side is also prepared for battle. They're ready to run us over. And yet we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This, I believe, is why Jesus says, as I've already read, Mark 9:29. So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. There are particularly stubborn demons. There are demons that hide behind disease. There are demons that mix with disease to wreak havoc. And Jesus tells us the normal faith, the regular things we do, don't work against such demons. But these need, as the King James says, much prayer and much fasting. The same is in Matthew 17:21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and take up the full armor of God, which includes the word, the sword of his spirit, and the shield of faith, and the preparation of the shoes of the gospel of peace, and all prayer, and the breastplate of righteousness, and all these things we need. And as we put on the full armor of God, also we need to take something off. We need to repent of our sins. For it's not only Satan that would be against us, but if we are sinful, if we are casual about our sins, the Lord will bring disease and calamity upon us. Deuteronomy 28:19-25, the Lord is talking to his own people, Israel, and he says, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land into powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you're destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Oh, what a sad, sad thing. Not only would Satan be coming against us, but if we don't repent of our sins, if we don't seek God, if we don't, as believers, seek to be faithful to his word, trust and obey, God himself can come against us. He will bring calamity. He can bring disease. He can bring famine and other problems with food and even water. And he can bring enemies against us from afar. The United States has been blessed, and blessed wonderfully, with wealth, with good things. I believe all for a long time, because we are, at least in our founding, a Christian people, a people who believed in the Bible, a people who trusted in those things. And yet we have gone far from them. And even as Christians, even as believers, we've left our first love, to say the least. We are not as strong, and this I mean as a nation, as Christian people, as we used to be. And so maybe this coronavirus, as far as it's from God, as far as he is sovereign over it, which he is, it is a wake-up call for us. It is a call again, as Jesus said to his disciples, for much prayer and fasting. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for all the things that you bring into our lives, whether they are positive things like your word, like your son who died for us, like your spirit who makes us alive, or even negative things like this coronavirus. Father, you say in your word that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Father, we believe that. We trust that even this coronavirus is able to work together for our good, in that it humbles us, it brings us again to our knees, it brings us to a place where we look to you for salvation, not only from sin, not only from hell, but even from this virus, because you are ultimately in control, and you are ultimately able to take us through this and win the victory for us. Father, we thank you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.